I am Josh Felber. Welcome to Making Bank, where we uncover the secrets of the 1% so you can live the life that you want, build the business that you've ever dreamed of, as well as have the time and the freedom to do what you want, spend it with your loved ones. And so welcome to the show today. I am super pumped. We have an awesome show. We're going to cover a little bit about how to get out there, how you know, what do you do in the hustle and make it happen. One of the biggest things, one of the biggest breakthroughs for me, as I look back, I've owned over 15 different companies since I was 14 years old. And one of the biggest things that I've found that has become successful for myself and has driven me day in and day out as an entrepreneur to create and to build and create value for others is the power of being broke. And I've been there. I've been in the position where I was in Dallas building my business, not having more than a couple bucks to scrape together, and trying to create this entity that I had that vision in my head. I had it in my heart. I had that passion for it. Just like so many of you out there, you have that passion, something that you love so much that you want to do or that you are doing right now. And you have that vision on where you want it to go, but you procrastinate. You sit down and watch TV. Maybe you go out to the clubs or the bars, whatever that may be. And you just don't have that hustle, that drive, that relentlessness in you right at that moment. And I'm here to tell you, you got to get it. You have to get that hustle. You have to feel that power of broke. You got to feel that. And you got to utilize that as a strength to help you get out there and make it happen. So as I was building my business in, you know, in Dallas, I just thought, man, I have to continue every day. I got to get out there. I got to be out there. I got to be up early. I got to get out and hustle. I got to knock on people's doors and, you know, build this merchant services business. And the great thing about it, 5.5 years later, we were able to sell this, and I was able to hit one of my dreams and my goals that I set when I was 14 years old, to be a millionaire by the time I was 25. And that was the greatest thing about it. And the whole theme goes almost along with every company that I've started. There was another company. We created a mint that had weight loss ingredients in it. So it was like an Altoid, but it would help you curb your hunger and lose weight and everything. And a couple other partners and I didn't know a thing about getting into retailers. And the coolest thing was we've had this, and we ended up putting it in over 38,000 retailers and across the world globally in 20 to 30 different countries, something like that. But we barely had any money to put in. We had enough money to start the business, to have the R&D done and have the mints created and testing and everything else. That was it. Now it's like, okay, how do you get out there? How do you start connecting with other people? And I was knocking on doors. I was picking up the phone every single day, making 20, 30, 50, 100 different cold calls to retailers, to buyers that had no idea who I was and who the company was. I did this day in and day out for at least 13 months straight, did this, before finally I got the first appointment, then the second appointment, then the third appointment, then the fourth appointment. And about 18 months in, we got an appointment with Walmart. It took about 3 or 4 appointments to actually finalize and get a deal done. But that consistency, that hustle, that drive, that knowing that, man, I am broke, or I will be broke here really quick if I don't continue to put out that effort to drive, to grind, to make it happen. And that's one of the biggest things is, you know, most people that look at the news out there, the internet, and that sort of thing, and they see these different companies popping up here and popping up there, and they think, man, that's an overnight success. It just happened. But they don't see that hustle. They don't see that grind for the 300 days before that. They just see that 301st day and then that success. I'm here to tell you that's not the way it works. It is not the way it happens. And there's been times that I've started businesses and all I have is my credit cards, and I'm funding it off. And you get to the day and you got to make all these different minimum payments, and there's barely any money coming in. And then somehow magically you just keep driving, keep determination, and keep going after it. You have enough to pay it all, and then the next month, and the next month, and before you know it, then all of a sudden that momentum, that you're, that drive that you're creating, the floodgates open up and then big things happen, you know, and it just takes off for you. And so if you're out there right now and you're in that position and you're trying to really get your business up and going, take a look, ask yourself, am I doing whatever it takes? Am I doing and hustling day in and day out? Do I have that relentless drive in me to get out and crush it and make things happen? And if the answers are no, you gotta take a look, man. Is this really something that you love? Is this something that you're passionate about? And this is something that you're willing to give up and do whatever it takes to make this happen for you. And so I'm so honored and excited for my interview today. We have a great mentor that is coming on with me here shortly. And he started from nothing. He grinded, he hustled, he went after it, and he's been broke before, and he's created massive businesses from FUBU to being on Shark Tank to just created so much momentum in his life, and now he has all these different branding deals and has just become a phenomenal entrepreneur, an unbelievable mentor, and now is trying to give back. Is launching today his new book, Power of Broke, where he interviews multiple different entrepreneurs to social media internet stars and what they did, what their hustle was, how did they go after it, and how did they make it happen. So please stick around for me right after this break to jump on with Damon John, and I'm excited for him to be here. I am Josh Felber, and you're watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Hi, I'm cooking up a fresh batch of my Sun Up Before Sun Protector. Last year, my family headed off to the sunny beaches of Riviera Maya for a much needed vacation. But I knew I wouldn't enjoy myself if we were smothering our skin with ingredients that cause reproductive disorders, hormonal imbalances, even cancer. Kind of takes that feeling out of a beautiful day, right? Now you can make every beautiful day delicious to your skin by using Sun Up Before Sun Protector by Primal Life Organics.
I am Josh Felber, and you're watching Making Bank. I'm extremely excited today. We have an awesome guest, think Shark Tank, and he has a new book coming out, founder of FUBU. Damon John is the New York Times best-selling author for The Power of Broke. He also is the CEO and founder of FUBU, a much-celebrated global lifestyle brand with over $6 billion in sales. As one of the stars of ABC's Shark Tank, he is one of the country's most visible and respected entrepreneurs. He is also the recipient of more than 35 awards, including the Brand Week Marketer of the Year and Ernst & Young's Master Entrepreneur of the Year. As CEO of the marketing firm Shark Branding, Damon stands out among the same cutting edges as one of corporate America's leading branding consultants. He also was recently named a presidential ambassador for global entrepreneurship, and his two previous books, Display of Power and The Brand Within, were bestsellers. For more information, make sure you check out Damon's new book, powerofbroke.com is the website for that. Damon, welcome to Making Bank.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I'm excited to have you on here, man. I've watched Shark Tank all the time, so we get to see you on there, and I've read all your other books, and I was traveling the last few weeks and got home, and Power of Broke was sitting finally in my mail, in my UPS thing.
Right there.
So we'll be diving into that this week. But welcome to the show. Just maybe real quick for our audience, most people probably know you, but let's just say there's a few that don't. Give us a real quick background of how you started FUBU, kind of the struggles you went through a little bit in the beginning, because I know that plays into your new book now.
Absolutely. So, you know, I started FUBU. It was a clothing line that was really made for, a segment of the market, a culture, not a color. You know, people often think that FUBU, the acronym, is for us, by us, and they often thought that it was made for basically a certain race of individuals when that wasn't the case. I was somebody who grew up in the world of hip-hop. It was a trend at the moment. People thought it would never last. And we were wearing a lot of brands that Honestly, the people who made the brands, they didn't respect, hip hop. They would say, well, we don't like rappers. We don't like inner city kids. We don't like African Americans. We don't like Latinos, whatever the case was. And, you know, I come from a time when, you know, the proprietors of a store or anything else, you loved your customers because that's who paid the bills and that's right. who supported you. And why wouldn't you give the love back to them? So I was frustrated and I came out with a brand called FUBU, For Us, By Us. And it wasn't only because of the people that didn't necessarily love the culture, but if you were a kid and you were living in New York City and you wanted a really great, colorful jacket, you didn't need to buy a $2,000 ski jacket with Gore-Tex and all kind of stuff like that. You just wanted a colorful jacket.
Right.
And, you know, so we made it affordable, you know, $400, $300, whatever the case was. And as I did that, basically a lot of the performers in the music industry, they latched onto it. And then a lot of the athletes latched onto it. And it became this kind of like snowball effect that started to empower entire generation. And then you had your P. Diddy's and your Jay-Z's and everybody else who decided to come out with their own brands. And we weren't the first. You know, there were two other brands, Cross Colors, Calk and I, and maybe a couple other ones that kind of inspired us. And it just became really an amazing empowerment for the hip-hop community. And this is the first time you started to see actually music artists start to come out with brands that other than music that started to monetize themselves. And here we are today.
Cool. Well, tell I know I when I was looking through some and reading some of your books and everything, basically, I mean, you started FUBU with no funding. You didn't go out, have venture capitalists, have all these backers and everything. I mean, you were grinding it out day in and day out, right?
Yeah, and you know, and that's obviously the theory to the book, The Power of Broke, because I started FUBU with $40. I remember it was 1989. I will tell the story, 1989, Good Friday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, where I stood outside, a mall by my house, and I sold $800 worth of hats that I made with my own hand. And the light went on like this, like, wow, I could really empower myself. And then I gradually grew the company. But, you know, from 89 to 92, I closed the company down three times because I ran out of capital. But I only ran out of $1,000, $5,000. And often people think that you need money to make money. But actually, the most common reason why startups fail is actually overfunding. You know, they go out and they raise $100,000 when they only sold $800 worth of hats, and they then blow $100,000 on fancy websites, opening of a storefront, and things of that nature, and they're not concentrating on the bottom reason why you're in business: sell, sell, sell.
Right.
So, you know, I was able to start my business over and over again because I only made affordable mistakes.
No, and that makes sense because, I mean, as entrepreneurs, we're out there grinding it day in and day out, and everybody sees what's happening in Silicon Valley with all the huge valuations and all these big fundings that are happening, and you think, I have to do the same thing, and right. like you said, you get the money, and you just don't know what to do with it.
It's absolutely bull crap, you know, because no matter how much money Zuckerberg may or may not have raised, he started off with one friend.
Right.
Right. Now he has 1.5 billion of them, but it doesn't matter how much money you have. I've seen more companies collapse because they thought we have great funding around us. Now I've seen more companies succeed because of very, very common reasons. They have a mentor somewhere around that doesn't have any kind of investment in the company. They are making affordable mistakes. They have, they've proven their concept, you know, first and foremost with little to nothing. So if they did it with little to nothing, when they have a dollar, they're really going to be more powerful. Sure. They have like-minded people around them and they set their goals. They leverage their assets. They don't use OPM as other people's money. OPM is other people's marketing, other people's manpower, other people's mind power. And you can always make money off other people's mistakes.
Right. Now, those are some awesome points. Right? Guys, make sure you're taking notes right here. Damon's dropping some great nuggets of wisdom for you. So with now moving forward and, you know, kind of moving past FUBU then, what did you start to dive into after that?
Well, you know, FUBU is and was a really great part of my life, and it still is. And then, but I didn't want people to think that, you know, I bit the right apple. I got struck by lightning one time. So I went out there with my partners and we acquired several other brands. And that's when I really understood what the power of broke was, because I made my biggest mistakes when I had the most money. You know, I acquired brands and I blew $6 million on a brand that I didn't know much about, but I thought I can buy the fancy CMO, the fancy CEO, advertising, marketing. Before I turned around, I realized that as long as I was paying people, they would tell me what I want to hear. After I stopped paying people, you started to find out the real character of who was around you, the ones who jumped ship, the ones who were problem solvers. And I realized that the power of broke is really activated more by people who are successful. That's why you look at things like athletes and lotto winners who 3 years outside the league of an athlete, they over 60% of them are bankrupt because they have this certain skill set that they focus on as an athlete to become the best product in your you know, in their world, right? But then when they have money, they don't take the same skill set and put it into wherever they're investing in, and what happens? The money goes. So I learned that after a while, and we acquired various companies, and then we started to really have some success once I took all the money away from it and started concentrating on my brands, Kuji and things of that. And then I just wanted to start giving back, and I started going on to shows such as yourself, as such as Donnie Deutsch, CNBC, and Mark Burnett, the producer of various shows from Survivor to Contender, Apprentice. The Voice had a show called Dragon's Den that was popular in London, Japan, and Canada. He's bringing it to America, and he wanted it to be called Shark Tank. And he had like four people on there who were really, really like morons. They didn't know what they were talking about, and he needed a very smart shark. So he decided to ask me to help become the lead shark and teach everybody what I know. And that's how I became Barbara and Robert and Kevin's, you know, daddy.
That's great. And so being on Shark Tank, you know, what, I guess, how's that helped you as an entrepreneur really refine your skills as well as also know, you know, when you're evaluating and looking at companies to, you know what to look for?
Well, being on Shark Tank has been absolutely amazing for various reasons. Number one, the valuation and what I'm looking for in the companies, it hasn't changed much, but what it has done is make me basically hire and surround myself with people that I know can take on the tasks that of the industry I'm trying to go into. There's one part of it is the fundamentals of business. The other part is getting people who are trained, who understand how to run those companies. But more importantly, as much as I joke about the other sharks, I learn more than anybody else in the show. So I'm sitting next to four or five individuals that are, they have a vast amount of knowledge in various different industries, and I learn from them. But more importantly, I learn from all the entrepreneurs that are coming up there who are anywhere from 10 years old to 75, and they're doing business in a whole new way. They're doing business where they're converting people online. You know, you and I, we know the traffic conversion, you know, conference that we went to where this world is changing. If I wasn't on Shark Tank, I probably would be like a lot of my colleagues who are, let me make it, let me beg a store to buy it, let me put it in the store. I don't know who's going to buy it when they get to the store. I don't know why they bought it. I can't upsell them. I don't know why they didn't buy it. And it's a different world now. And not that we don't need retail stores anymore. They're very important. But now I know how to support the retail stores, driving traffic through them in another way, and I know how to sell it online and convert it on social media if the stores don't want to buy it. So now is a great time. People are empowered, you know, way more than we were 10, 15 years ago.
Sure.
The only challenge is there's also another million or 2 million people with the same power, so you got to hustle, you know?
No, that's definitely the case. I mean, I remember I started my first business at 14 years old. And it was a computer business, and there was no internet. There was no, you had to get out there and talk to people and hustle. And now the gates of just the floodgates of being able to connect with people has just dramatically increased so much.
It has. But the fundamentals are still the same. You better get your butt up before everybody, and you better go to sleep after everybody and out hustle them because there's somebody out there trying to eat your lunch.
No, that's the case. Can you stick around for another minute? We just got to take a quick break.
I'm here.
Awesome. I am Josh Felber, and you're watching Making Bank, and we'll be right back. I am Josh Felber. You're watching Making Bank, and we've been speaking with Damon John about how he started his businesses from the position of not having any money and going almost shut the company down several times during that first several years. and how that has now catapulted him into success with his company FUBU, as well as taught him valuable lessons as an entrepreneur to continue to grow his businesses and also expand his brand overall. Damon, welcome back to Making Bank.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And we were just talking real quick. You were talking about Shark Tank and being on Shark Tank and everything. What are maybe like two or three valuable things that you've picked up from being on Shark Tank, working with all these different entrepreneurs that we can help teach, you know, our audience?
Well, you know, I've learned a couple of things. So first of all, if you don't have the knowledge of converting online and or reaching your public online, that is where the entire world is going. So, you know, we're at a point now where you can sell things full margin to somebody that, you know, is going to support you, and you can also upsell and keep selling them if the product is right and if they still want your stuff. So I learned the power now is purely, you know, talking directly to your customer. I've also learned, and I always knew, that it's not money. You know, money is not going to get you there, really. You know, it's about hustle. It's about grind. It's about surrounding yourself with the right people. It's about finding that vein and creating a genuine following. You can go out and buy a following all you want, but as soon as you lose the money, you lose the following. And you can burn through money fairly quickly. And the people that I see on Shark Tank and in the private sector that have really made it have been people that have used their intellect and their grind and their connect and things like that. And they have not used money. Those are the two things. And then it's the art of the pitch. It's the fact that I see that we don't invest in Shark Tank. We don't invest in companies. We invest in people. Simple as that. Because you'll see often people up there who have really amazing numbers, really amazing businesses, and will say, I think I said it the last week. I was like, you know what? I don't really like you, but I'll give you $2.5 million, but I'm going to license the company. The reason, if that basically sums it up. I don't like you. I'll give you the money. And as soon as I get the company, I'm going to license it because I don't want to talk to you again. And then you'll see somebody else up there who's crying and they're all upset and they failed a million times and you know they're never going to stop, and you know no matter what, whether this company works or not, we're going to do something together and right. We're going to make a lot of money because you believe in the same things I believe in. You're not going to go to sleep, I'm not going to go to sleep, and we're going to make some money. So I'll let Barbara give you the money and then you and I will do the business.
That's awesome. And you know, and those are, you know, all three valuable points. I mean, you got to be out there hustling, and you know what, a lot of people, they, especially what I've done consulting with, you know, they think, okay, well, I can do so much and that's just going to get by. But as we discussed earlier, there's millions of people coming online. I think there's 3 billion people in the next 4 years, I think, that are coming online as we start to connect globally even more. And they're either going to be starting businesses, they're going to be looking to buy products, and you got to be able to serve them and deliver to them.
I mean, that's the whole point of the book that I wrote, Power Broke, because in the book, I don't just talk about myself. So in the book, I have 15 really globally recognizable people, such as Kevin Plank, the CEO of Under Armour. He's doing $4 billion a year in sales. And, when he was starting his company, he didn't have enough money to pay a toll when he was going over a bridge and they had to give him a ticket. I have on there Linda Johansson, who started off with one kiosk. Now, I don't know, she's gotten up to, I think, 1,500 kiosks. She sold $1.7 billion worth of Proactive. Started off with one kiosk, you know. And I have a lot of other people. I have influencers like Acacia Brindley, who started off 14 years old being bullied. Now she has, I think 16 million people that follow her online. Yes. And she's the one who they said created the selfie. And people like McDonald's and the Olympics reach out to her. So everybody on there who activated the Power of Broke. So when you tell me that you can't do it, you gotta look into the book and see the people that can.
And definitely, I know when I was skimming through it real quick, some of the things that you touched base on that I pulled out of there is, you know, how the lack of capital forces you think creatively, you know, when your back's against the wall. So it makes you think, hey, how can I get funding, or how can I come up with money next week to make sure I make payroll?
Yeah,
absolutely. In that position.
It's that, you know, it's kind of like, you know, listen, if you know, my friend said the best way. He said, you know, if you're going to go out and gamble, because again, when you are selling a product or things like that, it's a gamble.
Right.
You know, how much time are you willing to invest? How much are you willing to lose? How are you going to get access to capital? How are you going to get customers, right? But if you're gambling, do you go to the blackjack table with a $1,000 minimum first when you start playing blackjack, or do you start off with $10, right? It's the same thing. You know, we like to joke around and say, you know, I know you have a plan. I've seen so many business plans that are really amazing. But Mike Tyson said it very, very eloquently. Everybody has a plan, so I punched them in the face. And in business, you're going to get punched in the face. So don't worry about the plan. The plan is nice, but reality is going to hit you.
Totally different, for sure. And so also there, you listed in there 5 sharp points and how to apply them towards massive success. Maybe you can give us one or two of those to kind of key us in on some awesome stuff.
Sure. My 5 sharp points is very similar to S-H-A-R-K, of course. The first one is set goals. You have to set goals. You have to set goals on how much time you're going to put in this. You know, you should not go out and stop your quit your day job and then just start a whole new business. That's not the right thing to do. I understand people have to pay the bills, so don't quit the day job. But are you going to put in 2 hours a week, 4 hours a week, 9 hours a week, and then are you going to revisit in 6 months, you know, on your new venture and say, after I put in this amount of time, what's the milestone that I want to hit to then move on to do it another 6 months? Because if you don't set goals, you are going to let other people set goals for you. They're going to tell you that you can't do this, you can't do that, you're going to embarrass yourself, you're going to embarrass us. So you have to have a mile marker no matter what, personal goals as well as business goals. And another thing in there, another one of my sharp points is about you have to absolutely love what you do.
Right.
You know, you as a broadcaster, I'm sure that you love empowering people. Anybody out there right now, anytime they've been successful, whether in their relationship or whether in business, they were doing something they absolutely love. I would make clothes for the rest of my life for free and dress people for free if I could, because I get a high off of seeing people wear something that I created for them and made them feel like they finally arrived. So you have to absolutely love what you do. If you do it for money, you most likely are never going to make the money. You may end up in the wrong place for the money, or you're going to, when you make the money, you're going to blow it.
Yeah, for sure. And that, you know, and that's, those are very valid points. I know my wife kind of started her business when we had our first daughter, and it was about a necessity of trying to create skincare product that didn't have all the crap in them. And right. We started it in 2008 and just now, I mean, you know, and then rebranded in 2012 under the Paleo, and it just took off. And I mean, last year we did over 1.2 million and she's just grinding at it every day and hustling. And
but she probably, it's like Christmas every day when you think about the new product you made, or you found another ingredient that is natural and safe, and you're like, wow, I can improve this, and you like to tell everybody. It's fun, you know? Yeah.
And that's what she has every day. It's just fun for her to go do it and to see the people when she gets those responses back, like, wow, this is amazing.
When you run a business, it is like your child. Yeah. And you know, if your child, you know, the three times a month that you have to show up to the ER because your child has a hearing infection, an ear infection at 2 a.m, you don't just give your child up for adoption.
Right.
You know, maybe Kevin O'Leary does. But other than that, most of us don't give our child up for adoption. And that's the same thing as a business. You're going to find aches and pains and you're going to figure out how to solve it. I always say that mothers are the ultimate startup. They bring this beautiful, you know, this beautiful being into the world, and they figure it out. I don't care how many books you read on parenting, it doesn't work.
Yep.
You have to figure it out because each beautiful child is different.
Definitely. No, and that's the truth. So so let's jump into your book a little bit. I want to dive a little bit more in the power of broke and, you know, how as entrepreneurs we can utilize that to help, you know, understand and learn and grow our businesses. I know you mentioned some different people that you've interviewed in the show. It looks like Steve Aoki, master DJ producer.
Yeah, let's look at Steve Aoki, because somebody like Steve Aoki, his parents had money, Benihana.
Right.
Right? And everybody would say, you need money to make money. Well, when he started to tell his father that I'm going to play records for a living, his father said, I came over here from World War II fighting the war. I started with absolutely nothing. And unless you sit your butt in this business and this company that we're doing, that we built as a family, I'm not giving you one red cent. So then Steve goes, all right, no problem. He goes over to New York City and he starts spinning records with all the cool kids. And they said, get out of here, you little rich boy. You don't have any place to do. We're keeping it real out here. So actually money was the biggest problem he had because he didn't have any from his father, but the other kids thought he had some, so he couldn't find his way. But then he started to fly all the way from California to New York to do a gig for $100. It cost him more. He had to go and get a job to go do the gig. That's how much it cost him. He had to go buy plane tickets.
Right.
So it shows that, you know, no matter where you are, it's all about the hustle, the grind, at the end of the day.
Definitely. And let's see. Oh, Jay Abraham. Can't forget. Good old Jay.
Jay Abraham. We all know Jay Abraham. Yep. And if you don't know him, he's a master marketer. He is somebody that I sought out to be a mentor. I sought Jay out about 8 years ago. I called him relentlessly and I said that, you know, is there any way I'm, you know, who I told him who I was. And, you know, he wasn't impressed. Jay has met presidents and everybody else. Great. And then I told him my intent to educate, you know, and empower other, you know, entrepreneurs. And Jay stuck to that, and he's been my mentor ever since. And he, you know, he's done legendary things like created the brand Icy Hot when it comes to marketing. Yeah. And Jay has attributed, they say, $9 billion worth of business, you know, has been attributed to Jay's mind alone when he's consulted everybody from GM to president. So Jay Abraham's in there. And listen, the power broke, I'm exercising the power broke in this book.
Right.
Because I show you how I go after mentors no matter what level I get to in life. I'm reaching out to you, Josh, to help me get the word out because I can go out. I have enough money to advertise and market all the time. But unless it's original and people like you respected, you're not going to interview me if it's a bunch of crap. I'm on social media doing live broadcasts to my people. So it's really about creating a genuine following.
And definitely. And I think, you know, with, you know, now with the internet and being able to connect with people, you know, if you're out there delivering the value and creating content that's going to help empower people, like you mentioned, that, you know, that's how you're going to build that genuine following of people.
Absolutely.
And so tell me, so you're out there hustling, you're moving, you're making it happen all the time. I see you're flying every from coast to coast and different book tour now and everything. So, you know, how do you make that happen day in and day out and still be able to keep your energy and keep yourself healthy and just keep hustling like that?
You know, it's a constant grind. And I think the biggest challenge that I face, as well as everybody else out there faces, is that, you know, it's time. Time is the biggest challenge we all have. And I even put in the book, that's the only thing we're selling everybody else is time, a more efficient way to do something. And it does take a toll on my health and things of that nature. And then I set my goals and I reset. And I think that's the biggest thing, though, because whether it's time with our family that we need to spend time that we spend on our health, time that we spend on our education and furthering ourselves, that is the biggest challenge we all have. So if you don't schedule these things, it just doesn't, you know, it doesn't happen. And I try to surround myself also with much smarter people than me. Sure. So I don't have to figure it out myself, you know?
Definitely.
And, but again, I don't have the answer to everything. Also, the book itself, it's not going to make you successful because if your product is crap, it's crap, right?
Right.
It's only going to give you the path to get there and find out that it's crap sooner than later or find out it's successful sooner than later. So you can fail fast if you need to. But I also don't give you the answer to time because that's the biggest challenge that I face as well.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, it's really trying to make that time for as much as we can that's important in our lives and really, you know, start to define, you know, those pieces. And I think once we have that definition of what is important to ourselves in our lives, they can really then start to structure our days and our weeks and stuff around that to make it happen.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, tell me one thing. What is one thing you can't live without from a technology side of things?
Ooh, from a technology standpoint, I mean, it's purely just the phone all around. I don't have anything specific, but, you know, listen, you know, 10, 15 years ago, we were chained to the desk and, you know, we picked up the phone from 9 to 5, 9 to 7, and that was it. And now, you know, you can have access to anybody and everybody, and it makes me mobile.
Sure.
I couldn't be this mobile if as you said, flying around the world and everything else like that, if I didn't have this you know, this digital lease me here, right? So there's nothing specific I love about it, but it's just in general I have a full fledged computer, you know, next to me all day, you know?
Sure. Yeah, no, it's a tool that helps you get business done and run your operations and
stay connected. you can watch a lot of stupid videos on it as well.
That's the truth. And then what's the one best piece of advice you've ever received?
One best piece of advice I ever received was money is a great slave, but a horrible master.
Yes.
And it goes back to my theory of don't do it for money. And I understand people are like, yeah, okay, buddy, you got money now, so that's what you're saying now. But it's not. Anything that I've ever done for money, I never made it. And when I came up with the concept of FUBU, it was when I decided to stop doing all these business ideas that I had that were just about money, and I just wanted to start dressing people. And before I knew it, that hobby turned into a way to feed my family and keep the lights on. So, you know, the concept of the power of brokers, I'm not glamorizing when you don't have resources, because I think that it's very important for us to be able to have those things to feed our families and get great medical and education. But if you are in that situation, there's only two things to do. There's either, you know, cry and moan about it, or tap into that power that you have and kick your butt into gear like we all had to do sooner or later and monetize it. And I think the stats show, if you look at Forbes Top 1000 or Inc. Top 1000, over 60% of those individuals, the wealthiest people in the world, over 60% of them came from nothing. Right. They're self-made men and women. That means they were all broke. And I guess if you needed money to make money, then all the people that were on the list prior to that, then they would still all be on the list, and there would be no room for the 60% or 65% now that were broke. So the stats have shown that you don't need money to make money.
Cool. Awesome. And then last question, what's one habit that you've, you know, contributed to your success?
Setting goals. I read this amazing book when I was young. I was 16 years old. It's called, and it's probably the book that attributed to most of the people, more people that are successful have read this book than any other book. It's called Think and Grow Rich. I'm sure, Josh, you've read it.
Yes.
By Napoleon Hill, the original one. And when he talked about goal setting in there, I didn't understand it at first, but because I'm dyslexic, I read the book every year. And after about the fourth time reading it, I absorbed the information the right way. And I started setting goals when I was 16. They started to kick in when I was about 22. And before you knew it, I had what most people would call a level of success that everybody attributes to. By the age of 27, 28, I was worth several million dollars. And I attributed to that book and that book alone.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree 100%. I read that book with Tony Robbins' Unlimited Power, took out a legal pad and just sat there and wrote and wrote and wrote.
Those are all the books, you know. I mean, and, you know, I'm sure you've read all the ones that really have done it for you. Tony Robbins, all those books, yeah. Think and Grow Rich, Jay Abraham, Who Moved My Cheese, One Minute Manager, you know, The Lean Startup. I mean, The Power of Broke is just another version of The Lean Startup, right? So all these books are really amazing. Ryan Dice's Invisible Selling Machine. Yeah. You know, all these great, great tools are out there, and just people just need to find them.
Cool. Well, where's the best place for people to go find The Power Broke? And
you can go find The Power Broke on powerbroke.com. Okay. You can also get it on Amazon. You can get it in Barnes & Nobles. I'm going around the country. This Power Broke thing is just like Shark Tank. It's bigger than me. I'm going out, and I'm seeing 500, 700, 800 people at these book signings, and more importantly than getting a book, they're out there meeting like-minded people like themselves and networking, because they're sitting there standing next to an investor or somebody who's a coder or somebody who's a designer, a manufacturer, a vendor, and it's becoming something much bigger than me, which I'm more than happy, and I'm proud to be part of the system. So you can get it anywhere and everywhere.
Awesome. Is your schedule as well on thepowerofbroke.com? Where you're going to be?
We will be posting that. I'm going to be in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area for the next month and a half, and I'll be doing probably about 15 to 20 book signings in this area.
Awesome. Well, thank you for writing that book. I know it's a huge contribution to other entrepreneurs out there, myself, and, you know, being able to dive into the information and learn more from all these different people as well.
Well, thank you, Josh. Thank you for what you do, you know, because the information needs to be out there for people to empower themselves. At the end of the day, people just want to feed their families and empower themselves. They think entrepreneurship is rare. It's not. 90% of the world doesn't have access to big companies, big jobs, and they've been bartering and trading since the first day that we were created. They just don't call it entrepreneurship. And we've had a bad rap over the last many years as an entrepreneur. Yeah. You know, we've been told that an entrepreneur is somebody who sets your house on fire and then comes sell you a water hose, and that's not the case. So thank you for what you're doing.
No, thank you, Damon. And I really appreciate your time today and coming on Making Bank. It was an honor to have you.
All right. Thank you, man.
I am Josh Felber. Thank you for watching Making Bank, and get out and be extraordinary.
Making Bank is also available for download on iTunes and Stitcher.